If you'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's great to hear the rustle of pages. or the tap of screens, that's right. Please forgive me if I cough a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Leah introduced us to the theme this morning. We're looking at the body of Christ, the church, this morning. And Paul's analogy of it. So if you would like a Bible, please put your hand up and one will come your way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're starting at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if an ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I find it truly amazing that we are called to be the body of Christ. The church of Jesus Christ, we are his body. And as I just read in verse 27, now you are the body, he says. We are the body. And each one of you is a part, each one of us is a part of it. Don't you just find that truly amazing? When you think about how you can walk through life and you think of all the things you mess up and the mistakes you make and the things you say and the regrets you have and some of the negative things that go on. We are part of the body of the risen Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Let that sink in this morning as I sort of try and take us through this. The church, his people, are his body. And it's not just a simple case of becoming a Christian. I'm a Christian now and that's it. Yes to Jesus and no to the church. If we say yes to Jesus, then we say yes to church. Automatically, we become a member of the family. A member of the family of God. We become church together. We become the body of Christ together when we say yes to the Lord Jesus. But let's make it clear from the start, though. We cannot love Jesus and not love his church. To love Jesus is to love the things that he loves. Jesus and the church are not identical. Yeah, the church messes up. We make mistakes. We do things along the way that maybe we shouldn't. And there's obviously bad press as well at times. But Jesus and the church is inseparable. There are other metaphors in Scripture that... analogies that are used for the church. We're like sheep. We are the sheep in his sheepfold. We're the bride of Christ. One day the bridegroom will come for the bride. We're an army of Christ. We'll come victorious, in Revelation tells us. We'll come on the clouds with him one day. We don't have to do any fighting, so we're not an army that rolls up our sleeves and gets stuck in, or with swords on. Because he's already done that. He's already victorious. But we are behind him. We follow him. We follow the victorious, the conqueror. We are known as a building. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So Jesus and the church is inseparable, because when you think about it, how can you separate a bride from the bridegroom? How can you not build the building on top of the foundation? How can we separate a shepherd from his sheep? Jesus Christ and the church is one. And how much does he love his church? Well, enough to give his life. Enough to be nailed to the cross. He died for his church. He died for his people. He died for us. He died for this, for us today. And to love the Lord Jesus means to love what he loves, so therefore we love each other. And just to add a little bit more depth, being his body, his church, we become the earthly representation of Jesus Christ. And you and I together, we represent Jesus. You and I together, by doing life, by being Jesus to people. What an honor. What a responsibility. That's why I said earlier on, let it sink in for a moment. When you are part of the body of Christ, when you are part of the body of Jesus this morning, we don't just get to play church. We don't just get to turn up on Sundays and do some great things to help each other out and to bless each other with just on an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. We have the wonderful opportunity of being part of a living church that is constantly on the front line demonstrating through practical love what it means to be Jesus to people. We are his body. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he deals with many issues, many areas, many things that this church are getting wrong. But the one foundation he tries to build upon is unity. And he reinforces our point in verse 12. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, so one has many, but all its many parts form one body. See, he's pushing this point across. We are one. Yes, there are many parts to this body, but we are one. Unity. There has to be at the center. It has to be at the center of us as believers. It has to be at the center of here of Lisvain Baptist Church. Hopes and dreams. So we're coming together next week, and for these hopes and dreams to count, we have to be in unity together. For the wonderful way that Ali brought us together to write down the way that we can get out of the boat, we have to be in unity together. Church has to work together. We have to be one body, though we are many parts. There are so many things that we want for this church. I believe the Lord will bless us immensely, but we have to be together. We have to be in unity. We have to live in unity together. To be in Christ means to be of one body together, not individual. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. I was with somebody some time back, and they said, I don't need church. I don't need it. And that just, for me, that it was so sad, because this is what God has designed for church to be, for us all to come together, for us all to be together, to rely on each other. That when that person said that to me, it just reinstated the fact to me, you need church now more than ever. Anyway, so through unity, we have purpose. I got 3 points this morning, I had to try and sort this out. But we have unity through purpose. Through unity, sorry, we have purpose. And a simple question we could ask straight away is that, what is it all for? What is it all for? You know, if we are a unified body, and you know, we've got this metaphor as a body, what's it all in aid of? Well, as an example, I suppose, when I have a body, all right, I admit it's nowhere near fit, but nevertheless, I have a body, and my body is made up of so many different parts. You know, my hands can do certain things for me, and my legs can do certain things, but take something away and I become less effective. Take some other parts away and I become useless, I suppose. I think the jury is still out on whether I got a brain or not. But my body is designed also to serve. See, I got all these members of my body and my feet, my hands, my head, my mouth, my nose, and so on. But it's designed to serve. Who is it designed to serve? Well, me. You have a body that's designed to serve you. You want to get up in the morning and make a cup of tea, your body takes you there to do it. And everything we know about ourselves is because of our bodies. Everything you know about me is because of me. You say, well, I hear you say something. Well, it's because my body is speaking it. I see you do something. Well, it's because my body is doing it. You might have written something I've read. Well, it's because my body did it. My body serves me. So how will people come to know Jesus? Through his body. And since Jesus ascended into heaven, the church has become the body of Christ. The church, Christ has become invisible, and he has become visible through his church. We, the church, have become Jesus' visible body. Ephesians 1:22-23 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The church has become the visible part of Jesus. And the invisible Lord has become visible through his body. Jesus is visible through us today. How do people know about Jesus? Through us, through the body. How can people hear about Jesus? Through his body speaking. How can people experience it and how can people experience the love that Christ has for them? Through the body. He is the head. And we as his body, we must do as he says. We are to display and to manifest, to reveal the Lord Jesus through the church. Not to imitate him, although that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Not to second guess him, but to be a very real representative of who he is. To spend time with him, to hear him, to write down these hopes and these dreams and these visions. So the body of Christ, we serve Jesus. Which brings us on to another point. Because again, in verse 12, where Paul says, though the body is one unit, the body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though it is many parts, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Even though we are many, it doesn't mean that we're the same. It doesn't mean that we're uniformed. It doesn't mean that we are all imitations of each other. We all come to the party with something different. We're all diverse. See, uniformity, I suppose, is needed in some organizations, probably essential in some organization. And the Corinthian church, when you read the book of the letters of the Corinthian church, we'll see that this was a church that prided itself on just one or two things, on certain gifts. Speaking in tongues and prophecy mainly. They wanted people to look the same, to be uniform. They looked down on the other gifts. You're a lesser Christian if you don't have this gift. But can you imagine the church? Can you imagine the chaos of everyone who's trying to do the same thing? See, Paul's challenge to them. He tells them that as different members of the body, you have different functions. He explains it, doesn't he, in verse 14-17. You know, just because the foot says it's not a hand, does that mean it's useless? Just because the eye is not a ear, or the ear is not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? It's just nonsense, isn't it? How would the hands cope without the feet? How would some people in this congregation cope without other people to help and support them? How would the ears cope without the eyes? How would we cope as a fellowship coming together? If we weren't all different, how could we as a church function if we were all gifted with wisdom and knowledge? Can you imagine having everybody here full of wisdom? I think there'd be a few arguments. Or if everybody here was full of hospitality, I think, well, I can do it better. No, I can do it better. Or serving, no, let me do it. No, let me do it. No, let me do it. We're all leaders. I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. See, we need to have those different functions throughout the church. So important. Every part of the body has a different function. And it's all for good reason. I love the quote from Teresa of Avila. And I've used this quote a number of times on church annual accounts and so on. Not annual accounts, what are they? The annual reports. And just listen to it for a moment. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Your eyes, yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands and yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes and you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. What a wonderful picture. I'm not sure if she wrote this about an individual person or about the church. I'm not sure. But what a wonderful picture that it is about the church. When we come together collectively. See, we can't all be the hands. We can't all be the feet. We can't all be the eyes. But the hands can assist the feet. And the feet can assist the hands. And the same goes for every other part of the body. We can all strive to do little bits of ministry and to do a little bit here, a little bit there, and so on. But can you imagine what church would be like if we were all stuck in that in the gift that God has given us and we were worked at it full on and relying on other people to use their gifts? We would complement each other. Some years ago, I had a bit of a defining moment with part of my training. Dave used to allow me to speak in the evening services, and there was one service some of you will remember that. Trying to look around, see how many faces. Actually, it just went pear-shaped. It was bad. It was awful. And I think after about 5 minutes, I thought, I can't do this. Anyway, my good friend John, we had a good conversation after, and all he said to me was, the problem was I was inspired by people. There were great preachers in this world, men and women that I looked up to. I was inspired by. And I love their style, their delivery, the way they do things. But what did John say? Just be yourself. Just be. We heard Leah say it earlier. I'll thank you for it later. Just be who God intended you to be. You speak from your heart. You know? He's gifted me with various gifts. I don't have to worry about other people's gifts. Because that's for you to worry about. You have gifts that I don't need to worry about. Because if you are using them, then like I say, we'll complement each other. See, be who God designed you to be. And operate within the body. Operate within the church. Operate within the body of Christ with the gifts he's given you. See, we all bring something different, don't we? We're all different. You probably look at the person next to you. Oh. Thank you for that. You know, I am different to the person sitting next to me. But we all bring something different as well, don't we? Okay? I could say I wish I was like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, George Whitefield, or Charles Spurgeon. If you don't know some of these names, these are some of the great preachers from the past. But these are people who impacted the lives of millions of people. Wouldn't it be great to have, look at Billy Graham, blessed man, passed away this week, 99 years of age. But how many people came to know the Lord through a sort of shotgun evangelism? I wish I had the same feet as Marilyn Harry, lovely Welsh woman from the valleys. Smith's Wigglesworth from the early 1900s. Great people who would travel and evangelize. I wish I could have the eyes of the same as those people who can discern things and see people. I wish I could have the ears that can hear and just listen and just hear the voice of God. I wish. Maybe you don't see yourself. See, Paul's trying to address this issue. Maybe you don't see yourself like a worthy Christian because you don't do some of the things that other people do. It's nonsense. See, we've all have different gifts. God has gifted us the way he needs us to be and to do things that only you, that only I can do. You can do things I can't do. I can do things probably most people could do here actually, but I can do things that you can't do. We're all gifted differently. I wonder if you've ever thought a great place in the body, you know, what would you liken your gift to? Knees, great pair of knees. You know, we keep them covered most of the time, and probably just as well sometimes. But like I say, but are you a great pair? Because what are knees for? getting on the floor in prayer. I think it was James who was known to have camel knees because he was constantly on his knees, you know, constantly praying, constantly taking situations, constantly intercessing for people. What about a shoulder? What about being a great shoulders for people to come and lean on? For you to carry strong shoulders, for you to carry people, for you to carry burdens. I'll leave you think about what you can liken your gift to, what part of the body. But the best thing is about it all is that God has strategically put people where they are. Verse 18, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, not just certain ones, but everyone, just as he wanted them to be. There's a plan, there's a purpose. When you think, oh, I've only got this gift and I can only do this. See, the Corinthian church was saying, if you haven't got this gift, you can't speak in tongues, if you can't prophesy, then, you know, you're a lesser Christian. Nonsense. God has placed you where you need to be. It could be hospitality, it could be administration, it could be leadership, it could be healing, it could be prophecy. Scripture in Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, you know, read about the gifts that God has given his church, for his church to grow, for his church to emulate Jesus, you know, into the communities around us. If you believe God has brought you to LBC, then he has planned for you to be here for a good reason. There's a good reason why you are here this morning. There's a good reason why you said in the first place, this is the church that I need to be. He has equipped you for that very reason. He has gifted you for that very reason. He's gifted you to be part of a fellowship for that very reason. See, diversity within the church is so essential. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for other people in my life fulfilling their gifts. If it wasn't for ministers, for pastors, for gifted teachers, for people who can encourage, for administration gift, for hospitality, for words of knowledge, wisdom, for people who have faith, people who love serving, people who minister to my needs and Melissa's needs, people who have given generously financially. I'm not ashamed to say it, but the third year of my college course was paid for. I didn't have a clue how I was going to pay for it. £3,000, they needed it, just like, oh, what do I do? Lord, I need help. Within days, it was in my bank account. I didn't tell anyone. You know, if it wasn't for people being generous, if it wasn't people who administered, if it wasn't for all the list of people that I just mentioned, I wouldn't be standing here today. And I wonder if you could look back over your journey, of all the people that have had a part to play in your life, the people that have impacted your life and brought you on the journey that you where you are now. I wonder how you could pinpoint some of those giftings. But the exciting thing is, I wonder how you can use your gifting to use other people to get to the place where you might be today, or the place where you want to be. The place where I want to be. We all want to be Christ-like. We all want to be perfect. And one day we will be when we're standing face to face with him. But he blesses us with gifts along the way to get us there, to help each other, to support each other. I know this sounds selfish, but let me finish the whole sentence. I need people in this church to be using their gifting. You need other people in this church to be using their gifting. You need me to be using my gifting. We need each other as the body of Christ, with all members of the body who come together. If we become a church that doesn't use our gifts, I wonder how quick those doors would close. No more Lisvane Baptist Church. Oh, I wonder if we all say, yeah, I want this gift, and yeah, I want that gift too, and we all have the same gift, I wonder what chaos we'd see within these walls. See, the people out in the world will know Jesus is real and exists and is alive today by the church working in unity, by the church working together, by the body of Christ just fulfilling its purpose, its mission, using its gifts that he's blessed us with. Last point, I'm going to wrap up now. Have unity. Through unity we have purpose, through unity we have diversity, and the last one, through unity, we have unity by the transforming power of God at work in our lives and in the church. Verse 13, it says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Take God out of the equation, and we are just a lovely bunch of people who just meet together on a Sunday morning. We become a club, and our membership doesn't mean anything. People just trying to do nice things. But because we were baptized in one spirit, because of the moment I said yes to Jesus, because the moment I realized that, Jesus, I can't save myself. I need you to do it for me. I need to rely on you, Jesus. I need to accept the gift of grace that you've given me, Lord Jesus. The moment I've done that, the Holy Spirit came and resided within. But not only that, he sort of placed us within the body. Straight away, he places us within the body, a living organism, not an organization that is, you know, just plods along for the sake of plodding along, but something that is living. He takes us away from isolation and ushers us into the body of Christ. And on that birthday, like I say, he blesses us with a new gift. Not a birthday card or a nice little plaque with a date on it, but with a gift. A gift that's going to make a real difference in our lives and the lives around us. Verse 7, it says, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. See, the gift that we have is the Holy Spirit himself. And through the gifts that he blesses us with, he empowers us to do things through the church. All for this one reason, all for the common good. What's the common good? For Jesus to be known. To build church, to help one another. I love those verses where it says, if I find them. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. See, the common good is to serve Jesus, and by serving Jesus, we serve each other. This is where the Corinthian church was so messed up. They placed an emphasis, like I said, on these gifts. Next week, I'd like us to discover a little bit more about giftings, about spiritual giftings. I think it's vital. I think it's important. Perhaps I'm quite passionate about this. I don't know. But if we as a church are not using our giftings, then where will we be? How will the body of Christ build? How will the people in this community know? We have a wonderful opportunity within the Easter egg hunt day. For us to be the people that demonstrates Jesus, to have Jesus the front line of our lives. But we need to use our giftings. Like I said earlier, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for certain people. You might not have been here today if it wasn't for certain people in your lives. We need each other. I don't know what else I was just going to say in my notes. I'm abandoning them just for that reason. If Jesus Christ loves this church so much, then we ought to love it that much too. We need to love the church like Jesus. There was a line on a song earlier on. Let me know, I'm paraphrasing. Let me know, Lord, what breaks your heart, and break my heart with it. Break my heart. You know, Jesus Christ, he broke his heart on the cross for his church. He broke his heart on the cross for people. And we have this wonderful opportunity. We have this amazing opportunity to be the body of Christ to people, to use our giftings. I'm going to stop it there. Time is gone, but I'd like to pray for people. It's all a bit ad hoc. If you don't know what your gifting is, if you claim to be a Christian this morning, that you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're unsure, let's pray about it. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this morning to reveal it to you. Let's ask God just to say, Lord, thank you for receiving me into your family. Where do I fit in? If you're not sure where you fit in this morning, let's ask. Let's pray about it. And we're going to have the last song in a morning, crowning with, in a moment, crowning with many crowns. But let's pray together. Just come to the front now or after. Let's ask God, what is it? What is my gifting? Or if you know what your gifting is, let's pray that you start using it again. Or if you are using your gifting, let's pray that God, keep using me within this gifting. Do we have these giftings forever? No. Do they come and go? They could do. God has blessed us in this moment in time with a gift. And that gift is within you. And we need you to start using it. I need you to start using it. You need to start using it. He needs you to start using it. Let's pray about it. Let's discover what it is. And next week, like I say, we'll have a little look about more about spiritual gifts, about administration, about leadership, about healing, about prophecy, and so on. But let's ask God this morning to bring it back alive within you, to see this church grow, to see people grow, to see people come to know Jesus Christ. See, the main primary aim of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to Jesus. And as his body, that's what we are meant to do as well.